Today I'm going to be talking about a subject that has sometimes been divisive, and it's supposed to be one that's unified. One of the members of this church was talking to me about this, and they got in a conversation with somebody else, and I think a lot of us got in the same conversations with others. Are the gifts of the Spirit for us today? Are they relevant for today, or have they passed away? That's been a big argument with a lot of churches and denominations, and it's been very divisive. Some say the gifts of the Spirit passed away with the apostles when the last apostle died, the apostle of Jesus Christ. Some say it actually passed away. The Bible was completed with its 66 books, because after that, there was no new revelations that needed to be said to man. So we're going to look at this biblically, and then if they do exist, how do they operate? How does God want to see them to operate? Now, I did this years ago when I did an expository teaching of 1st and 2nd Corinthians, which was like 500 pages of notes. I did condense this a little bit. But when you read 1st Corinthians and 2nd Corinthians, they all go into line to what this is, because it's not just the gifts of the Spirit. It also shows how they're misused and abused at times. But the main thing is when people say that the gifts of the Spirit are not relevant today, they usually base their scriptures on one scripture they hang on, which is 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 13. And it says here, charity never faileth. And when we're talking about charity, we're talking about agape, we're talking about love. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. And so they think that while reading this, that the Bible was completed, so that which was perfect is come. The Bible being complete, that these gifts that were only in part are completely done away with. But before we stop there, we need to continue reading the text, because that's not where it stops at. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, and the greatest of these is charity, or is love. But if you look here, specifically it says, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then. What day is then? What day is then? When we shall see him face to face, that is when that day will come. That which is perfect has come is when Jesus Christ comes back to earth. That's when we will see him face to face. That is that when that we will not see in part, but we see the whole picture. Nobody has the whole picture now. Only God does. Even Jesus himself, when they asked him about, when will you return? He says, I don't know. Only the Father knows when he's going to send the bridegroom back for his bride. Only the Father knows. First John 3, 1 through 3 talks about this day. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. It's only in part. We only see pieces of it. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Who wants to be like Jesus? Who wants to be like Jesus? When will we be perfectly transformed into the image of Christ? It is when he will appear. For we shall see him as he is. And look at this next one. And every man that had this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. You purify yourself with this hope that one day I am going to be like Jesus. I am going to be transformed to that perfect man. This corruptible must put on incorruptible. This mortal is going to put on immortality. This body will decay. This body gets sick at times. This is not my perfect body. The ones you have is not your perfect body. It will go the way of the earth because that is the natural body. But we have a hope to live in a spiritual body. And why do we need spiritual gifts in a physical body? Because the physical does not understand those things that are spiritual. And it has to be revealed to us by the Spirit, not by the flesh. The Holy Spirit was promised to abide for us forever. Not once we see Jesus, forever. Jesus says this in John 14:15-17. If you love me, keep my commandments. And if you keep his commandments, he continues on, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. See, if you're not a Christian and you have not accepted the Lord as your life, you cannot receive the Spirit of God. But the Scripture says, if you keep his commandments. What is his commandment? Believe on him whom he sent. Believe on Jesus Christ. He paid the price for you to be able to receive the Spirit. Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot see, but it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he shall dwell with you and shall be in you. He shall be in you. The mission of the Holy Spirit has not changed. He has a mission too. He has a job too. And when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we need not to talk to him about like some phantom or ghost. There's a few translations in the King James and several others that calls him the Holy Ghost. If you go back in the Scriptures and you look at the root word from that, word ghost is phantom. That was a mistranslation. The word is spirit. Pneuma. And pneuma means breath. And what gives you life? The breath. It is the Spirit that makes alive. The flesh profit nothing. So I know everybody says, I've got the Holy Ghost down in my heart. A lot of people don't understand that. And to the people that interpreted it at that time, that may have been the word for them in English. But the word is Spirit. It is pneuma. Just like pneumatics. I used to be a hydraulic technician. Air with hydraulics made parts move for planes to fly. Air in your body brings oxygen through your blood and through your vessels for you can move. You need the Spirit to live. His mission hasn't changed. His mission is to reveal Jesus to each one of us. John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. The Father will send in his name. He shall teach you all things and bring things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Our communication with God is through the Spirit of God. Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. Then 1 Corinthians 2:9-12. But it is written that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that loved him. We can't come to that. We have no idea what God has planned for us. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what the things of man save the spirit of man, which is in him? We have a spirit, and God's Holy Spirit reveals it to our spirit. And that's how we receive things from God. Even so, the things of God with no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have not received, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. How are you going to know what is given to you, what your calling is, what you are supposed to do, and how you're supposed to live if you have not received it from God? Yes, you have the Bible, but without the Holy Spirit, without Christ in you, you cannot keep these commandments. You cannot follow God. You need Him. You need Him to be able to live and breathe and have our being, to be able to move in the things of God. Okay, some say, okay, I believe that the Holy Spirit fills the believers. But what about gifts? Couldn't they still pass away? Before looking at this, we need to look at the callings which God has actually brought into the church. Ephesians 4, 11 to 13. And He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. Another belief that comes along, apostles and prophets are no longer needed. Look at what the reason he put in here that Paul said. Until we all come into the unity of the faith. On earth, are all Christians in unity of the faith? Okay, they're not in all unity of the faith. Do we still have divisions? Definitely. Do we have denominations? Do we have beliefs that divide the believers, even though they're still believers? We're not in the unity of the faith. We still need the apostles. We still need to be prophets. We still need evangelists in this world. Because we haven't got this has not been fulfilled. And do you think that a prophet should have the gift of prophecy? I would hope so. If not, he's prophesying out of his own heart. To be a surprise to you, we talked about the 12 apostles, that maybe 13 when after Judas was replaced. But did you know that there are more than 12 apostles in the Bible? See, the word apostle means sent ones, or one that is sent. We have people that are living apostles right now. We call them missionaries. They go out into the world and they establish churches, pastors, and put teachers in place to bring the gospel of Christ. Missionaries do it all the time. But a lot of people don't want, there's no word missionary in the Bible. That's the thing. They have a mission. An apostle has a mission. Matter of fact, every believer should have a mission. And it's not to get people saved. It's to make disciples of men so when they are saved, they will follow Christ and not you, not your denomination. So, looking at the Bible, I want to show you some apostles that were even before Jesus' time. Luke 11, 47 through 50 says, Jesus talking to the religious leaders at the time, he says, "Woe unto you." And you notice it's the religious leaders, usually not the world, that causes the most division within the church. "Woe unto you, for you build sepulchers of the prophets, and your fathers kill them. Truly you bear witness that you allow the deeds of your fathers, for they did indeed kill them, and you build their sepulchers. Therefore also is the wisdom of God. I sent them prophets and apostles." This was before Jesus. Jesus is quoting that I've already sent you prophets and apostles. "And some of them you slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation." So even before Jesus, there was apostles. They were not apostles of Christ that he hand-selected for his ministry when he was on earth, but they were apostles. Now, after that, we're going to find out that there's more apostles actually mentioned in the Bible than what a lot of people think. Acts 14:14. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard, they rent their clothes and ran out among the people crying. Everybody knew that Paul was an apostle of the Gentiles. But what about Barnabas? Right there, he's named as an apostle. When the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard it, Barnabas was an apostle. Or whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world of life or death, it was things present or things to come. All of yours, this is 1 Corinthians 3:22-23, and ye are Christ, and Christ is of God. What happens here is there was an argument within the church. I'm of Paul. I'm of Cephas. I'm Apollos. They named all three as apostles right there. Apollos, we find in Acts, became a believer right then. Here's another one that is considered an apostle. Then Romans 16:17. Salute Andronicus and Junie, my kinsmen, and my fellow prisoners who are note among the apostles. Boy, we're getting a lot of apostles just out of the scriptures that people don't know about. Paul, an apostle in Colossians 1:1. Of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. Timothy was considered an apostle. He was told, as a preacher, do the works of an evangelist, and he was also an apostle. And then Paul called, in 1 Corinthians 1:1, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. Another apostle. And you can find many different references that in the Bible, if you search hard, especially in the Greek, where you find out there's a lot more apostles than what you think. But these were not all there as apostles at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, nor were they the ones that Jesus called apostles. But they were sent by the Lord. When Paul and Silas was brought before the church, they laid hands on them and sent them on the way. They were sent ones by the church. They were apostles at the time. All right, continuing on with the scriptures we were talking about. Preachers. I believe prophets are still in the church today. But as we know, as many don't believe in the gifts of prophecy today. But just because every once in a while you may run into a church that believes in the gifts of prophecy and somebody may have a prophetic word which may come true, which may be of God, that does not make them a prophet. And a lot of people, when they operate every once in a while with the gifts of prophecy, automatically assume that they're a prophet. Any of these gifts to the church is a calling. So that's why we have to beware of the misuse of different gifts to the church, different governments of the church, of who you put in those places, that they are approved. And the reason being is you can have somebody that comes in and call themselves a prophet. God didn't call them to be a prophet. And they can destroy a church quicker than anything. And that's what the whole book of 1 Corinthians was written on, is because there was divisions among them, and being filled with the Spirit, they were children playing with power tools that did not know how to use them. And so Paul comes up and says, I'm going to show you how to use this the correct way. And so we're going to look at that, because there are false prophets. There are false apostles. The Bible says that. You know, if anything is true, the devil's always going to try to duplicate it and use it for his use. There's also false tongues. This is all mentioned in the scriptures as well. Teachers. There are many teachers in the church, but those that operate in this office must do so with the direction of the Holy Spirit. Too many times, people want to be a teacher of the word and not a hearer or doer of the word, not realizing the responsibilities of things that go behind it. Many do not want to preach about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, as it may divide or cause controversy. But we found earlier that the gifts of the Holy Spirit is to unify, till we all come to the unity of the faith. We need his help. There are three types of ministry used by the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit, we'll go through all the gifts of the Spirit shortly, that it's being used for. First, it's used for church ministry for the body. Personal ministry, building up for other ministry. And last, to minister to the world. Those are three. The church ministry is first, as we see that we are one body with different gifts and callings. Like a symphony, we have many different people coming up as musicians, all adding their part and if everybody's doing it right, the music sounds great. Not always here, but when everybody is on their timing, in the right note, perfect. It's just like a sports team. If you play sports, you can have everybody on the field. And if they're all in one mind, you got a good coach. We got a good coach. His name is Jesus Christ. He will show us the right plays and where to go and how to do it. But if you got the right coach and the people are doing their job, not doing somebody else's job, but doing their job, and they're doing it correctly as they have been trained to do, guess what? They'll win every time. They'll win almost every time. That's what part of competition's about, is I want to be more organized than the other team. The best organized team will win. If they all do their job, don't hit the miscue. I mean, what is the most memorable plays that people can think of in sports? The ones that somebody messed up and ruined the game. Bucky Dent for the Red Sox. So, but you know what? But you know what? That's what he wants us to do. We want to see a perfect game. We want our pitcher to throw a perfect game. We don't want to see one hit. I want my outfield to be out there so good. But you know what? The person that's a pitcher is mortal. He's not perfect. That's why he's got backup. We're all in this together as one body. We may have different positions in life. One may be playing outfield. One may be playing shortstop. You may be a prophet. You may be in helps. You may be just one with encouraging words. But you know what? It's all one body. And we need the gifts of the Spirit to be able to do everything in harmony, to be in agreement. The gifts of our church is to edify and strengthen each other as well. We need to strengthen each other, encourage one another, build each other up in the gifts of the Spirit. You know, nobody sitting on the fence and should be doing nothing. They should have a part. Doesn't mean that somebody should always say, well, I'm going to have a part, so I'm going to start at the bottom and I'm going to work my way up. No, this is not the world. This is not to try to make yourself and get yourself in the best position. It's not for any of us to do that. It's to be where God wants us at. And that's the most important part. If I'm serving God where he wants me, promotion comes from the Lord. You know, in the world, we'll sit there and you try to study, you'll learn and try to beat your way up to the top, knock the other person down. That's not God's kingdom. You may be that big toe on the body, but without the toe, the rest of the body can't stand. Every little piece has a part. And we need to do our part. And don't worry about other people's parts. A lot of times the first thing we do is like, well, you know what? I can pray better than you. I should be the one in charge of prayer. I can play better than you. I should be playing piano. This is not true, but but, you know, a lot of people have that type of look when they go to different places. They have that critical spirit. Instead of saying, hey, you know, you play piano great. I love to be able to play that good. You know, encourage them. And I love, Diane, hearing your prayers Because when you do, you pray with compassion and love and in the spirit. And you're praying for others all the time. And you're not praying for, just for yourself. It's encouraging. I know when I go to out to eat, when I leave the place is dependent usually on the way I was served. Sometimes if I've got a lousy service, I won't say like Ruby Tuesdays, the other day, I got one of the worst service, and you know, it sort of ruins your day for a while. And it's like, you have great service, you're like, oh, that was such a great place to go. I'm coming back. And so, I'll tell you this right now. We need to be that encouraging voice for this world. The gifts of is to edify and strengthen each other. And the personal ministry is to strengthen you for the work of God has prepared for you. And last, for the world, to show the love of the Lord to a dying world. This is the reason that Jesus told the apostles to wait for the promise of the Spirit before to go into the world to minister. A lot of people want to run and minister real quick. No, wait till you hear God say, go. I've filled you with power. I've filled you with myself. You have been prepared. It's ready to go. It's time to go. So now if you got your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 for a little bit. Starting from verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. The problem is that some people try to operate in the gifts of the Spirit without knowledge. Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant of the spiritual things. What are spiritual gifts? First, we read that we may notice that the word gifts are in italics, which means it's really not part of the text, but was added by the translators to give insight to the text of what the word gifts will later on come in shortly. So it should be reading. Now concerning the spiritual, brethren, I would not have you be ignorant. The word spiritual here comes from the Greek word pneumaticus, which means not carnal or spirit. In this case, Paul's talking about the Holy Spirit. Verse 2. You know that you were Gentiles carried away with these dumb idols that you're led. So why does he bring that up? Very simple. Just like the rest of us, we came from being sinners, from a sinful world, and brought into the gospel of Christ, and now God gave us gifts of the Spirit, and we're trying to use them in a Gentile way, in an unbelieving way. And that's not what he wants. We need to be led by the Spirit. Here, the Corinthians were actually worshiping other idols. And they had false prophecies in there. They had some things that seemed very similar to the gifts of the Spirit. And they were trying to bring in the paganism part into the church and trying to make a mix and match. Because that's what they knew. That's what they knew. That's why I said it's more important to make disciples of Christ instead of coming in here and bringing somebody to get them saved and says, okay, you're on your own. They need to learn. You know, somebody's unchurched, they're coming from a world outside in the world that is full of chaos, murder, hate. They give their life to Christ. They need to be disciple. So those in the church for Corinth came out of being idol worshippers to believing the Savior. Jesus is, as they were used to worship these idols, they have come from a life of spiritism and may have been under the influence of demonic spirits. They had a partial understanding of the Holy Spirit, but just like many of us, that a lot of things need to be shed out of their lives, the same as us, to allow them to live under the Holy Spirit, to allow them to change them on the inside. The gifts of the Holy Spirit is different than the false signs and prophecies of the Spirit of the idols they used to worship. As Paul will share this further as he goes on. Verse 3, wherefore I give you understanding that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Spirit. And that's one of the words that says ghost in there, but the word is pneuma there. So it is actually spirit. The word for ghost in Greek is phantom. Okay, same as a phantom. So the first thing we got that helps us to realize that, you know what? How can you put somebody to the test? Now, people could say that Jesus is Lord and still not be filled with the Spirit. They can do it without the Spirit, but they could say Jesus is Lord and still be basically possessed by the world and not a believer. How do they do that? They didn't say Jesus is my Lord. Let's personalize this. Jesus is the Lord. Even the devils believe in God and tremble. So for the sake of time, I'm going to keep going because this is going to take a while. I've got a lot to go through, and I may end up doing two sessions of this. A Lord is a statement of Jesus being one, and one Lord is just not as many Lords. Jesus is the Lord. It was commonly believed that the statement is that in Corinthians was addressing those that had professed to be Christians but were captured and tortured and would curse Jesus to be set free then try to come back to the church. And the point is, you know what, because being a believer back then, you know, you're going to be persecuted for your beliefs. And so a lot of people would get caught. I say, are you a Christian? If not, go worship to this idol. And they'll go bow down to another god and then try to come back to this job. Lord means master. You can't call Jesus your Lord and him be really your Lord and be a Christian. If you do not say he's your Lord, if you say he's your Lord and go worshiping other gods, no, you are not a Christian. Verse 4 through 6. Now there are diversities of gifts, not the same, but the same Spirit. There are different administration, but the same Lord. And there is a diversity of operations, but the same God, which worketh all in all. The way the gifts are used and applied on three functional areas, just as a business has different departments, the true in God, the Trinity, God in the Trinity, has different functions in the areas of the gifts. First, remember, they're all the gifts of the Spirit. So the functions of area of gifts is by the Holy Spirit or the spiritual endowment, which is by where we get the word charisma. The functional area of administration, ministry of service, is by the Lord Jesus Christ. The functional area of operations is by God the Father. The Lord working with them is what the scripture says in Mark 16. In other words, the Holy Spirit gives the gifts to the believer, and our Lord Jesus has us use the gifts for the service, and God the Father ensures the workings and the operations go about. You talk about a CEO company that's got it all right. And let's see, I want to skip some here. There are others that believe that by not having spiritual gifts, and I want to talk about this when we talk about spiritual. Some people that think gifts have passed away is because I never experienced them. I never spoke in tongues. I never had a prophetic word. I never had a word of knowledge. I never had discernment. But you know what? It has nothing to do with that. You are not more spiritual because you speak in tongues. You are not more spiritual because you have prophetic words or words of knowledge. What that means, that's what God would use you at. That's the gift of the Spirit. And the point is, it's to edify the body. We're supposed to seek out spiritual gifts. But the point is, I have this spiritual gift does not make me higher than anybody else in the church. And if you have a certain gift, it's used to edify the church, not to make you higher than Joe Blow who walks in the door and never been in the church. And as part of the Pentecostal movement, as many of us has been part of, we have seen it misused and abused. You don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. That's a lie straight from the devil. That's a lie that will divide more church. And that is the one thing that should be we should realize should be unifying us together as the spiritual gifts, but we have made it so divisive. And then we have others that sit there and says, well, if you speak of tongues, that's from the devil because it's passed away. You got two opposites. And what's the problem here? Where's God in this? Well, the proof is in the pudding. I never spoke in tongues, so I guess that one's not true. Maybe God didn't call you for that. Maybe you need to seek God for the gifts. Maybe you need to be open. That's like somebody says, well, you know, I don't believe in speaking in tongues. Guess what? You never will. If you don't believe in it, you never will. I don't believe in prophecy. Well, you'll never prophesy. You'll never be a prophet because you don't believe in it and you're not going to trust God. It's what we just said, sung a little bit ago. We surrender all. Are you ready to let God use you in the way he wants to? So let's look at what Jesus told us about being filled with the Holy Spirit and why. Acts chapter 1, 1 through 8. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to both do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, had given him commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after the passion, after many infallible proofs, being seen them 40 days and speaking of them things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, he have heard of me. For truly, John baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said, it is not for you to know the times or the season, which the Father has put in his own power. Remember, Jesus has a different ministration. God is the one in charge of operations. But you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the othermost parts of the world. That's the point. To be witnesses. Witnesses of the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection. Well, we physically didn't see it. But you know what? By the Spirit. We need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. We can still be witnesses of his death, burial, and resurrection today. No, we didn't. We may not have seen a vision of what happened. But you know what? We know by his word and by what he's revealed in our spirit that he died for our sins and he was raised for our justification. Okay? We can believe that. Because the Spirit reveals that. It's the Spirit that draws us. It's the Spirit that reveals Jesus to us. That's the reason we come to Christ. The disciples who already believed in Jesus had to obey the Lord and wait for the promise of his coming. They already believed. They seen his death, burial, resurrection. But they still lacked one thing. The Spirit of God in their lives. Or being baptized in the Spirit, being immersed in the Spirit. Jesus never said that wait for the baptism before you become spiritual. That is done through prayer and obedience. And so when we think of things like this, spiritual gifts are not just for your personal edification. It is to a point, but it's always for edifying the church. This is why we must not be ignorant of God's spiritual gifts, considering talent and natural ability. The difference we can look at when we think of that, there's the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit is not the same as the fruit of the Spirit. Gifts are given to you to minister in the body. When we look at fruit, fruit takes time. It's walking in the Spirit. Fruit takes time. It takes planting. It takes cultivating. It takes watering. It takes protecting. It doesn't come up all the right away. The gifts of the Spirit is given to you to minister to the body, to edify other people, to build yourself up to help other people. It's always for the church. First Corinthians 12:7. The manifestation of revealing the Spirit is given to every man. It's the manifestation for it to be known. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. This means that the Holy Spirit, at least at one time in a person's life, will reveal himself to them, sooner or later. By this, he also is revealing Jesus to them. For those who accept the gift of salvation, they will profit by having everlasting life in Christ and a relationship with him as well. So, this is just a background. I don't have time to do the others. Since next week, if I'm preaching, I'm going to continue to each individual gift and break that down. But the gifts of the Spirit are needed. And an example of this is, you say, when we were talking about the Bible being complete, that we don't need the gifts of the Spirit. Agabus prophesied of an earthquake. How many would actually profit from finding out that there's an earthquake and being able to prepare for it? That the Bible doesn't tell me when an earthquake's going to happen exactly, does it? No, it's okay. But anyhow, it was a famine in the land, excuse me. And there was another one than an earthquake. My mistake. Agabus was a famine in the land. Joseph heard of a famine in the land, okay, and they learned how to prepare for it. Church, we need prophets to be able to tell us where we are. Sometimes it's personal prophecy. Sometimes it's going to be a prophecy for the whole body. And you could use that to the world. Sit there and says, hey, prepare yourself. The Lord is coming. That's one of the biggest prophecies we are. Look at the signs. We're all prophesying that the Lord's coming. And prophecy does not mean you have to hear a direct revelation from God. You want that revelation would be for the office of a prophet. But some prophecies are already written in the Bible that we're prophesying all the time. Ezekiel, go prophesy to these bones to say, arise. That wasn't saying, Lord told me those bones are going to rise. No, he says, prophesy on these bones. Prophesy on these bones. Now that's to a prophet. I'm not going to tell everybody to go prophesying to bones or trying to say words that they didn't hear from the Lord. But the point is, we need to hear God's voice and be led by his Spirit and be open to be used by the Lord in any office, any gifts he has. There's 9 gifts of the Spirit that we're going to look at next week. And we're going to look at the 3 different areas. And I'll throw the areas to you real quick. The first 3 gifts is revelational gifts, which is word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. The next 3 gifts are oral gifts, or those that are spoken, which is prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And the next level gifts are the power gifts, which is the gift of faith, working of miracles, and gifts of healing. When we look at these areas, what gifts is needed is the one that's needed at the time. That's the one that's mostly needed. And if Jesus Christ is in you and the Holy Spirit is in you, does he somehow became inert and powerless once the Bible was created in fully? No. He still has the same power. Jesus is still the same Lord, and God is still the Father that's on the throne. Things have not changed, and we need him in our lives. We need him in our lives. And the question is, are you willing to be used by the Lord for his purpose and not your own? If you're a Christian, that's what you want. That's surrendering all. May not be in the one looking on like a Billy Graham on top of the pulpit, having your names and lights, being on TV. One of our friends who's gone to be with the Lord, when we were doing the coffee shop ministry, all he did was the sound. Nobody hardly even knew his name. But without him, we could not have done as much as we did. And you know what? Some of the people that's in the background are doing more than the people that's in the front. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that you've given us, Lord. And I just pray right now, Father, that we would be open to you, to receive of you, not worried about church doctrine, not worried about what the world thinks or what others think, but what you think. Open our heart to receive from you, to be able to hear from you, and to know what your will is for us. And we do so desperately ask, Lord, that you would build up your church with your gifts, that we may edify each other, that we may take this gospel to the world, not in our power, but in the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, that you've given us the Holy Spirit, and that he is a person, and we just pray we never grieve him. And we invite you right now, Holy Spirit, to just minister to your people here, Lord. Use us, Lord, as you see fit, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen.